Here in Ezekiel 25, we've got God's pretty tough condemnation of some Gentile nations. We wonder, why does God go to such an extent to make such a deal with these Gentiles, who you could argue were not directly responsible to him? Why is he so angry with them? Well, each of these nations that are listed here, and there's four nations, they are all condemned because of their attitude to God's people, even though God's people were spiritually weak and were, in his book, worthy of condemnation. But all the same, God is extremely sensitive about how these other nations treated them. The simple takeaway is be extremely careful about your attitudes to God's people. I refer particularly, specifically to God's people, as in the New Israel, those who are believers, those who are his people, no matter how weak they may be, no matter how hypocritical, whatever, be very careful about your attitudes to those for whom Christ died, because he is extremely sensitive to this matter. In the parables of judgment, the Lord Jesus makes it quite clear that the basis upon which we will be judged is indeed our attitude to others, particularly to the least of these, my brethren. So, verse 6, thus says the Lord, because you clapped your hands, stamped with the feet, and rejoiced with all the despite of your soul against the land of Israel. This is against Ammon. They eagerly joined in the invasions of God's people to vent their anger. Now, sure, Israel were to be trodden underfoot, but these people are condemned for doing that, for stamping upon them with their feet. So the idea is that it is God's prerogative alone to condemn others. It is not for us to join in that condemnation. You may think, well, I'm not a very condemnatory person, but I'm afraid it is a tendency within human nature. Why do we have this tendency to condemn others? Well, I think it's because of the principle of transference. That is, we, in our conscience, know that we've sinned and we deserve condemnation, and therefore it is tempting to transfer that onto another person, to see another person who's a sinner and to say, yes, they should be condemned. Statements like, well, those people will not be in God's kingdom, of course. We can't have anything to do with them because, you know, they're not God's people. Well, wait a minute. If they are believers and claim to be God's people and they are in the covenant, it's not for us to say that. And this sort of condemnation of others is particularly seen, I think, in attitudes to the Lord's table, where we sit as guests. In the parable of the supper, the Lord says that we are just desperate sinners. We are desperate street people who are just lying there in the street, and we're invited in to this wonderful banquet. It is not for us to then turn around and say to the guy next to us, hey, you're a street person, get out of here. That is absolutely unacceptable to God. And whether that's the policy of your church, your denomination, or whatever, we all are answerable before God, and we must do the right thing. Verse 7. God says that he is going to act in this way and destroy you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Well, I don't know quite how we ought to take that. It could mean that you shall repent and come to relationship with me eventually, but he says, I will destroy you and you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I think the idea is that God is going to condemn Ammon. They will be destroyed, but in their sort of final moments, they will know that I am Yahweh. And that's the most awful thing. That is the basis for the weeping and gnashing of teeth at the last day that Jesus talks about, when people realize all too tragically late that, yes, this is Yahweh, but I missed the boat. I'm not going to be in his kingdom, in this case, because I condemned others. Now, let's think about Moab, verse 8. Thus says the Lord, because Moab and Seir, Edom, say, Behold, the house of Judah is like all the nations. God is going to judge them. In other words, if you treat the people of God just like you treat the world, or as if they are just worldlings and unbelievers, this inspires God's anger. Even though, in fact, Judah are condemned for being like all the nations, in fact, being worse than all the nations. Well, okay, that's God's judgment, but if you treat the people of God as if they are the world, even if they are indeed apostate, weak, and the rest of it, this is extremely upsetting to God. Again, you need to ask yourself, do I treat anyone who is in the body of Christ as if they're not? Well, very easily one can. People have professed faith in Jesus Christ, been baptized into him. Well, that is who they are. That is how they are. And we are not to say, no, that is not a valid baptism. We are not to say, no, even if you have been baptized, you are unacceptable because you are this, that, or the other. You are too worldly for me. Indeed, they may be worldly. Were Judah like all the nations? Yes, they were, in one sense. The prophets made clear. But for you to judge that of others will lead to your condemnation. That's what it says. So verse 12, thus says Yahweh, because Edom has dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has revenged himself on them, they were to be condemned. Well, Edom is Esau. That is what the scriptures say. So Esau then is taking revenge. This is what is called in Ezekiel 35, the old hatred of Esau for Jacob. Now, why did Esau want revenge against Jacob? Because Jacob had done wrong. Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright on two occasions. Jacob was not good to Esau at all. He cannot be justified. He lied to his blind father, dressed himself up to appear like Esau. Are you my very son, Esau? Yes, I am. This was a point-blank lie. And of course Esau was mad with him. And that bitterness between those two men went on through the generations. But here they are condemned for taking vengeance and taking revenge upon them. So this is an abiding principle. If you will not forgive, even if, sure, you have been sinned against, but instead seek for revenge, you will be condemned. That's what it's saying here. So people do wrong to us, but two wrongs don't make a right. If you then pay them back with revenge rather than forgiveness, well, this is why God is so mad with Edom. Even though, as I say, they had a legitimate issue. Jacob had sinned against Esau and their descendants likewise. But revenge? No. Forgiveness? Yes. And if you don't get to that, condemnation. This is what it's saying here. It's really quite challenging. In verse 15, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with despite a soul to destroy for the old enmity. Well, again, the Philistines had been done wrong to by Israel. You think of King David. Saul says, yeah, I'll give you my daughter if you kill 100 Philistines and bring me their foreskins. He goes, okay, yeah, I'll just scribble 200 of them. This attitude was not right. And understandably, the Philistines, in human sense, wanted to take revenge. But again, absolutely again, this enmity was wrong. They were intended to forgive. Now, this is very, very challenging, what we're reading here. It is very challenging because God is reading out, you know, pretty tough condemnation to these Gentiles because they had not grasped this. Well, I consider that we in the body of Christ are far more responsible. If these Gentile nations like the Philistines are condemned for taking vengeance of wrong that was done to them by Israel, well, how much more then are we going to be condemned if we refuse to forgive our brother? And yet the body of Christ is riven by division. And, of course, people will say, oh yes, well, it's necessary because of false teaching. Well, my take on all the division within the body of Christ is that initially, it was all a matter of personalities. Say that, oh, no, it's all doctrine, all very important. Well, yes and no. Yeah, on one level, if that's how you want to read it, but in my opinion, it is largely personalities and largely a refusal to forgive, largely interpersonal issues that then subsequent generations carried on. Well, this is a challenge, is it not? To absolute forgiveness, to refusal to repay others as they have done to us, to break that cycle of endless vengeance and revenge, because it knows no end. And those who won't break the cycle, even if they are Gentiles, as we're reading here, the Gentile nations like the Philistines, are noticed by God and condemned. And that has huge implications for us. I urge you to not judge your brother, to be very careful about your attitudes to all those who are in the body of believers, who are God's people, because God is very sensitive to attitudes that we hold towards each other. Even if our brother is bad and sinful and no good in God's eyes, well, that is not for us to judge, but even if that is the case, so be it. But we are not to have those bitter attitudes towards them. And yet the body of Christ is riven by bitterness. And this cannot be right. And all we can say is that we must vow that I shall be no part of this, because quite literally, from what we're reading here, our eternity is at stake.